I was blessed this morning as the song started unfolding, and the scriptures that Spanky brought were, I was sure as they began to unfold that I was on the right track when I heard God bring the message for today. I had titled it, We Seek Guidance, and it was taken from, I have this life-giving prayers for the church that I pray for our church every day. And the one that I was, Julie always texts me on Thursdays to see if I have anything for the bulletin. I had nothing. The Lord hadn't given me a thing this week at all. And as I was going through my daily time with the Lord on Saturday morning, I prayed this prayer for the church, and this is what He told me that I needed to share this morning. And so the prayer is, Holy Spirit, lead us to level ground. Show us ways that we grieve, quench, or resist You. We live by You, so help us keep in step with You. Reign in us, so we experience Your freedom. There's a lot of good stuff there, guys. And this particular prayer, I pray for the church twice a month. So what I did, there's, I don't know how many there is here, how many prayers, but I just go down through them and put a number on each one of them through 31. And so this is day 9 and day 26 of the month gets that prayer for the church. So there's one for every day. But this one is meaningful because it's the one that God showed me is for today. And then, as you heard Spanky reading there from chapter 17 of John, where he said, if I don't go, I can't send you. I need to go so that I can send you the Comforter. And so, as we get into the message today, I'll show you what the Lord showed me. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank You this morning for the Holy Spirit that guides us, that leads us. Father, that we can come to You all the time, anytime, for guidance. To seek wisdom, Lord, to seek Your face so that You'll guide us, lead us through the day, through the hours and through the minutes, Lord. So, Father, as we look at Your Word this morning, as we share together around the Word of God, Lord, I ask that You'll speak to us, Lord, that Your Spirit will guide me as I open up my heart. Father, that You'll speak through me, and Lord, that as we, the church, hear, Lord, that You'll give us ears to hear what You're saying to the church, and Father, then we'll use our hands and feet to put it into action. So, Father, have Your way today in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first part of that prayer says, Holy Spirit, lead me to level ground. And I may have had a message on this before where the Lord, as we pray, as we seek His face, He takes the hills and valleys out of our lives and levels it all for us. And David was praying here in the 143rd Psalm, was asking the Lord for some level ground. He was going through a rough spot. You all know David's life was full of rough spots, as ours are. And this was one of them. And it says it's a psalm of David. And he actually begins in verse 1. He says, O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In Your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. The verses that I want to focus on today are 7 through 10. So if you would, read those with me here in the 143rd Psalm. It says, Answer me quickly, O Lord. How many times have we done that? I need this right away, Lord. I need this answer today, not tomorrow, but today. And we have to learn, as Dwayne said, we have to learn patience. God's timing and ours is a little different, in case you haven't figured that out yet, but it is a little different, because I need it today. I want it now. I want it when I ask for it. It doesn't always happen. And that's the way David was. He was wanting to, he said, answer me right away. Answer me quickly. And he goes on, he says, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, and may your good spirit lead me on level ground. So as I was thinking about this part of it, about the spirit, you know, and we're spiritual beings. We rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us each day. And as God was creating things, you know, He spoke everything in the beginning into existence. He spoke the whole creation just by His word into existence. And when he made man, He said, "And let us make man in our image." So God wasn't just there by Himself. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Trinity today, about God and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's why I was really blessed with the song that we sang this morning, because again, it was there. The Holy Spirit just leading us into what He wanted to bring today. But in the beginning it says, God, let us make man in our image. And so they did that. And the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to, we talked about this in Sunday school just a week or so ago. When did the Holy Spirit come? Well, I'm sure that the Spirit was there with the Father and Son as they were creating things, but He didn't give man the Holy Spirit until Jesus went back to the Father. He said, if I go, then I'll send the Comforter. I'll send this Holy Spirit to guide you. And so I want to look at some scripture that talks of that. Let's begin in John chapter 14, I believe I want to start. If you want to just turn to John, we're going to be there in John quite a bit this morning as we look at these things that we're praying for the church. Okay, so John 14, beginning at verse 15, it says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And And then on down in 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are my words, are not mine, my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So Jesus promised the Holy Spirit here to, he's talking to his disciples, talking to the group of men and women that were trained to go out and make disciples, and they told him, I'm going to send you someone to guide you. I've got to go. If I don't go, he said in 17:17, he said, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come to you. So he said, I'm going, because that's the plan that they made from the beginning of time. So we have the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us. In John 10, just back up a couple chapters to John 10, and it says there, verses 25-30. Jesus answered, this was some of the Jews, were showing their unbelief, and they were, says the Jews gathered around him in verse 24, Jews gathered around him and saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles that I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So again, he's talking about the oneness with the Father, and as I talked about before, the oneness that they have with each of us then as we accept Jesus as Lord. In John 1, John the Baptist was talking about Jesus, and he was baptizing him. And beginning at verse 32 of John chapter 1, says, I'm going to back up to 29, because this is where the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. So John knew almost from his birth, it said John was filled with the Spirit at birth, so he knew that he was preparing the way for the Messiah. He knew that this day was going to happen, and that Jesus would come to him to be baptized by him. And in verse 32 it says, then John gave this testimony. He says, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. So here we have proof that not only do we receive this Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord, but there is actually a baptism of the Holy Spirit that we also receive so that we can walk in His fullness, so that we can walk having the Spirit lead us in our daily lives as we walk with Him. Many times churches leave this part out. Not sure why, but I want to make sure that you understand that that is real. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a real thing, that something that we all need, and that has been a total blessing for Patsy and I's lives as we've grown up in Jesus Christ and walked in His ways. It's just you then have after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you then have the power to walk the life that Jesus walked, the wild life that He's called us to walk and live in. And it's when I actually began to understand the Word of God as I read it, and to understand that because He's revealed it to me over the years. And so it's been an awesome walk with God, and His love, the way He has designed it for us. In Sunday school this morning, we began a new chapter in our purpose-driven life, and we're talking about being transformed by truth. And the truth is the Word of God. It says God's Word is truth. So that's how we transform our minds and our lives to walk in His walk, is by spending time in His Word. And the author, Rick Warren, said that it only takes 15 minutes a day to read through the whole Bible in a year. So I've talked to you about this before, how important it is, how important it's been for my life as I've walked with God, to spend time with Him every day. It's just a blessing, something that I encourage all of you to make sure you take that 15 minutes a day to spend in the Word, just to get to know Him. He's worth knowing, and worth knowing fully. So the next part of this prayer says, "Show us ways that we grieve, quench, or resist You." Let's go to Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4. Just back a little bit there in your New Testament, and you'll find Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians. And Ephesians chapter 4, 29-32. Let's go there. It begins by saying, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So we have to pay attention to what we're doing, that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And all around that verse is the things that it asks us to do. And if you go on in chapter 5 of Ephesians, being imitators of God, you're going to find just a whole lot more things that we need to live as children of light, to live as God's disciples. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it talks about quenching the fire that the Holy Spirit gives. Second Thessalonians 5:16 and following says, "Be joyful always." Now that's a tough one, isn't it? That's what it says. It just says, "Be joyful always." It doesn't go into a great detail about what it's talking about there, but to me, always means always, all the time. How do you do that? I'll just say it takes a long time to learn that little tidbit there, and I'm not there yet. So pray continually, and we've talked about that before. It's a continual, as we walk our day out, continual correspondence or talking with God, listening to God, allowing Him to communicate with you during the day. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And do not put out the Spirit's fire." So the Holy Spirit is what gives us our fire, what gives us our zeal, our compassion for others. It's just, there's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit gives us. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench Holy Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. So don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't snuff it out. And then in Acts chapter 7, going back the other way again, Acts chapter 7, beginning at verse 51. It tells us to not resist the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:51 says, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels have not obeyed it." So he was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day. He says, "You're stiff-necked and you have uncircumcised hearts and ears. Always resist." So it's important that we don't resist, that we allow the Holy Spirit to do what He came to do. And I'll just tell you that Patsy and I did have resistance when we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was excited about it. We were really excited about what was going on in our lives, and I went and shared it with my father, and he was pretty upset about it. Him and I didn't really see eye to eye for quite a while after that, but he finally realized that, and I told him that day because he just totally disagreed with me. Told him, I said, "If it's real," I said, "then it will stand. I said, if it's not," I said, "that you'll see it fail." It was real. And we eventually got our relationship back together, and he began to realize that this really was something that we needed today. I think that for some reason the traditions of men have hidden this, and they've glossed it over, where they feel like it's something that was for New Testament times, but not for us today. But I'll just tell you that it is for today. It's very real and very needful in the church and the body of Christ. The next part of the prayer here says, we live by you, help us keep in step with you. So how do we keep in step with the Father? By spending time in the Word. Galatians 5:22, you all recognize these, probably you all know where we're going already when I say Galatians 5. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We've got it up there on the wall so you can read it. And I'm going to begin with verse 22 and go down through 26. Begins, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. There's just, when Paul was writing these letters to the church, he had so much good stuff to tell the churches, and there's so much here that we can learn and learn from. And this is just one of the things that we need as we live and walk by the Holy Spirit, as we allow Him and seek guidance from Him. The next part, the last part, says, reign in us so we experience your freedom. And the scripture for that one comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to just back up a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to begin at verse 17 of chapter 3 there. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty. It makes us free to walk in the Spirit and to live by the Spirit, to go to the Spirit for guidance. So when it talks about unveiled faces there reflecting God's glory, I have to think of Moses, because as we read through Scripture, you find that Moses was really the only one who was able to stand in the presence of God. God spoke to Moses face to face. As far as I know, he's the only person that went up on the mountain and met with God, and God told him things that he heard him speak with his ears. He saw him there. And then they said when he came down off the mountain, he was radiant. He was glowing because of God's presence. And that's why probably we won't need any lights when we get to heaven, because of God's glory, because of His radiance, because of His presence is just glowing. So when Moses would come back down off the mountain, he would have to put a veil over his face because of the glory of God was on him, and so they could stand to look at it. And I thought, wow, that is pretty awesome. But it says, and we who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory. So as we go out into the world, as we share our time during the week with those that we work with, shouldn't we reflect the Lord's glory? We don't have a veil over our faces, so we need to reflect the Lord's glory and be transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, lead us to level ground. You've given us help. Lead us to level ground. Show us ways that we grieve, quench, or resist you. We live by you. Help us keep in step with you and reign in us so we experience your freedom. We have a spiritual being. We are a spiritual being. So let's be led by the Holy Spirit as we go out this week. Allow Him to guide you. Go to Him for the questions that you have, the guidance that you need. That's why we have a prayer time every week, so that we can go to the Lord, so that we can lift you up to the Lord. If any of you need prayer this week, as the prayer or the praise team comes to lead us in a final song, if you need prayer this morning, come. We'd love to pray with you. Yes, and I'll be here. If any of you have never accepted Lord Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to do that this morning, I want to give that opportunity as well, because it's the most important decision that you'll ever make.